The world is afraid of my goodness, declares the Lord, because they don't understand my compassion. They don't understand how my love is so great and so vast. They don't understand that my forgiveness is my entryway into the throne room. That my grace and my mercy have been poured out on the world. They're afraid of it because they cannot receive it. But they'd rather live in their own shallowness, their own limitations, because if they would receive my goodness, there's no more excuse. There's no more reason for them to live the way that they've chosen to live. So they're afraid of my goodness. Because if people discover my goodness, says God, natural men will lose their control over the lives of others. No longer can they dictate, no longer can they strike fear into the hearts of the people, because my goodness will meet all of their needs. My goodness has been poured out in the earth, says God. I will not draw it back. I will not say, no, 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 you come back to me. But my goodness is there to change. And those who would see, those who would behold my goodness, will be changed forever. For they will begin to see the things of this world fade and pass away into the nothing that they are. And they will begin to see my fullness, the fullness of my mercy poured out, the fullness of my light that dispels darkness, the fullness of who I am that consumes even the flesh of men to bring you into a higher dimension, a higher way of living. For the world promises these things, but they cannot give them because they are beyond this world. They are beyond the carnal understanding of things. Oh, it is the realm of my spirit, says God, that I've called you to inhabit, that I've called you to participate in. I've called you to walk in my goodness, in my glory. And all the other things will fade away. But you will know me, for I will abide with you forever and ever and ever, declares the Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So walk into my goodness. Walk into these things that I have provided for you, says the Lord. They're free. They're free. You can have them by believing in me, by knowing that I am the greater one than the one in this world, to know that I am the all-fulfilling, all-encompassing God, to know these things about me, that they will manifest in you as you trust me and as you yield yourself to me, says God. Hallelujah. I said this for the last several weeks, but this has been a real powerful thing when it came to me. That religion practices knowing about God without ever having contact with him. And that's scary, because I was raised in a church like that. We believed in God, but we didn't believe anything that God would do anything. You know, the example that comes up in my head is I was raised in a denomination. We believed in anointing for healing. We didn't believe in anointing for last rites, because anointing in the Bible is used for healing. It's never used as a last rites. And yet in the church, by and large, it is a last rites thing. You know, when you're so bad off, we'll anoint you. You know, it's become this serious that we're going to anoint you. In our denomination, we believed in anointing specifically for healing. And my mother was going through a heart problem. She had rheumatic fever. We found out as a youngster, she didn't know that. It damaged her heart. And this was back in what, 68, 69, something like that. And they were going to do open heart surgery, and they were going to have to clean out all of her valves and scrape them, and you know, major surgery at that time. And that type of surgery, only 50% of the patients survived the surgery. I mean, a lot of them died on the table. And so mom says, I want to be anointed. My dad, being the preacher that he was, said, okay, we'll anoint you. So we called the elders in, and Debbie and I were there, and we anointed mom and prayed for her healing according to scripture and everything. But I think mom was the only one. I was curious. I had never really participated in one before, so I just wanted to kind of see, what the heck do you do in an anointing service? And I think mom was the only one that believed. You know? Dad and I are sitting in the hospital. I'll never forget it. And Dad's counseling me for mom's imminent death. He was waiting for the doctor to come out and say, because mom was not a real strong person physically. And I can't really say she had health issues, but she was a whiner. So you never knew really how bad she was when she complained about things, because she would sometimes complain over almost nothing. So, you know, Dad was preparing me for her death and everything. And the doctor, after several hours, he came out. And I'm just sitting there. It's like, Dad, why are you so negative? And the doctor came out and talked to us. And he says, she came through fine. He says, we got in there and found out everything was healthy. He says, we did a little bit of work, but we really didn't have to do a whole lot. Not anything close to what they were expecting to do. He says, so we just touched her up on a few things and closed her back up, and she's good. You know? I mean, Dad had the anointing service. We had all the elders around. Mom was the only one that believed, but it took. She believed it. See, religion, like, I won't go back to the quote, religion practices knowing about God without ever having contact with Him. And religion is always surprised when it actually works. They're stunned. But we of faith, we expect the word to work, because God said it would, didn't He? He said it would work. If you do these things, it'll work for you. It'll work for whosoever. We know the example of that, because if you've asked Jesus into your heart, you are born again. If you were serious and meant it, He came into your life. He changed you. And it's not, praise God, it's not a hit or miss thing. Lord, I ask you into my heart. I hope you came. Well, if God didn't, He's a liar. But because you ask Him, He came. If you invite Him, He'll help you. This is the God that religion doesn't really know, because we're still accusing, religion still accuses God, like I said during the communion, accuses God of putting things on us that He died to take away from us. So they talk about God, but they don't know Him. They've never had, I can't say never, but they very seldom have contact with God for it to actually work. I had a denominational minister years ago came to me and said, Gordon, what do you believe about the Holy Spirit? And I started talking and said, well, this is what we believe. And he said, I believe that. I know. I said, I know you do. I talk about other. I said, we believe the Holy Spirit is a person. He said, we believe that too. We believe He's not a thing. We believe that God, through the Holy Spirit, moves on us today, touches our heart, changes our lives. I believe that too. I said, we believe in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. He goes, I don't understand that, but he said, I believe that too. I said, now listen, we've gone down the doctrine. You and I believe doctrinally exactly the same things. He goes, yeah, we do. I said, the problem is we experience it and you don't. He looked at me and says, you're right. See, religion is concerned about having the right doctrine. Jesus is concerned that you know Him. Because when you know Him, religion goes out the window. They got so upset at Jesus, so upset with Him. He called God Father. I've been hammering this for some time now, but Jesus called God Father. And the church got so upset. They charged Him with blasphemy. Because by calling God His Father, He was claiming equality with God. It's in the scripture. But now, how did Jesus teach His disciples to pray? Pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven. Wow. Jesus is saying, to unborn again people to acknowledge from whom your nature comes. And our nature, if we believe in God, our nature changes, particularly after the new birth. Our nature has changed from that of this world, of the devil, of walking without God. Our nature has changed to where God now lives in us. We have a new nature. That's why old things have passed away. So when you pray, and all of you do, Father, isn't that what you say? Father, you just claimed equality with God. Oh, I would never do that. You just did. Paul even writes, he says, when the Holy Spirit in us cries out, Abba, Father, Abba, Daddy. Abba is an Aramaic word, and the closest we can get to it, it's like the very first word that a child says when he recognizes his father. And they know the difference. You people that have had children, you know, a child doesn't look up at his aunt and say, Mama. No, they look at the mother and say, Mama. Or they look at their father and say, Dada. And it's that recognition of, you're my father. You're my daddy. Woo, glory. And see, this comes by the Holy Spirit. So if you've got the Holy Spirit, you naturally begin to cry out, oh, our Father. And we don't feel guilty about that at all. But they wanted to kill Jesus for saying what we say on every time we pray. Every time we go before God, we're saying, oh, Father God, I thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. And we just throw that word around. We don't understand it because we have the right, well, we don't even have the right doctrine on it. But we have the symbolism of it. But we don't understand what we're saying. I want to tell you, when you call God Father, you are entering into a different realm of thinking and living that even the religious people don't understand. Because if they understood what they were doing when they called God Father, most of them wouldn't do it. Because that would be the height of pride. And the Bible says this is what children do. You recognize your daddy. And you call him daddy or father or papa. You know who he is. Why? Because I'm just like him. I'm his nature. Praise God, he's given us a new nature. Amen. Amen. Well, I got about four after, so go ahead and stand up. That's my message for today. You are created in the likeness of God. God himself loves you so much, he came into us to make his home in us, to make us new creatures, to show himself to us that we would know who he is and not just know about him. Oh, he's a good God. Father, we come before you, and we thank you, Father, you've made us new creatures in Jesus Christ. You've taken away all of our old junk, and you've put a new nature within us that, Lord, not only could we know you, but, Lord, we can live by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can live, Father, because you live in us, and you show us which way to walk, and you show us what to do. And God, we're going to be like Jesus and just listen to you and say what you say and watch you and do what you do. Lord, it's so simple because we know who you are. And you've called us, Father, to be conformed to your image of glory in Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you for all these things. Lord, bless us, bring us back together this evening, and for Woody, and Lord, we pray for those services to just bless him in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you.